Allegedly.
Allegedly.
We think Andy Dick stole our YouTube plaque.
5 a.m. and like finally it's like, okay, like can you fucking go home now? Why are you here? Andy Dick, you're in my room.
Excuse me, Mr. Dick, can you
Mr.
please?
Dick,
I'm trying to sleep, Mr.
Can you
Dick.
Fucking exit the premises, sir.
Ace! I need you to remove Mr. Dick from the pro. Thanks for coming, Mr. Dick. Yes, you can't write this shit.
Sips whiskey.
Welcome back, High Rise TV. We got an end of the year podcast for y'all today. We're going to go through, we're going to recap the year at High Rise Agency, High Rise Mansion. We got a lot of topics that you guys sent us on Instagram, so we're going to address those. But we just wanted to go over the year we had here, talk about some of the work we did, talk about some of the brands we work with, talk about some of the brands we thought were bracken. Got a little bullet bourbon. Cheers to 2021, baby.
Another year in the books. Yeah, that was, I've been saying this, by far the fastest year of my entire existence, by far. That was absurdly fast.
Yeah, especially when you don't leave the house.
Absurdly fast.
How fast did that go when you don't leave the hill?
Dude, so fast.
How many times do you think you left this house this year? 365 days. How many days do you think you spent?
In the last month?
More in the last month.
Well, I guess because I went to Palm Springs and shit. If we wouldn't have gone on those trips, I probably wouldn't have left. I've literally like left the house like barely like in the last like 2 months.
It's pretty crazy.
Like, it's been pretty crazy.
Like, yeah.
Now I'm like scared to leave with all this fucking crime and shit.
Yeah, you're like, fuck the
everybody's
COVID,
just like getting robbed and fucking all this shit's going down. And
the block is hot, dude. Did you see
some ass in here?
You saw what the mayor said, like, don't come to LA. We can't keep you safe. It's like the purge here.
No, so even my fucking stepdad was saying, because he's a cop or used to be a cop or whatever. And he's saying, I was telling him how basically they released like 70,000 violent offenders into LA. That's why all the crime is up. And now they're fucking arresting them, but they're not holding them on bail.
Yep.
So they're getting arrested and they're just letting them right back out in the streets. And so my dad was saying, like, this one dude got arrested for like kidnapping, burglary, and like some other thing and just released without bail.
So crazy.
It's like, what in the actual fuck? So it's like, do we just start doing crime or what? Should we just start like a fucking racketeering thing or something?
Yeah, for sure, dude.
We're not gonna get in trouble, right?
No.
So fuck it.
PPP, embezzlement.
Selling some bricks or something.
Let's do it. Bang our line.
You need those bricks? Shit's crazy.
This episode of High Rise Podcast is sponsored by
the best edibles in the fucking game, baby.
They gonna smack you. They ain't gonna hurt your pockets. Affordable Pyramids Edibles powered by High Rise. Also, we're sponsored by
the best flower in the game, baby.
Timber Tree Trimming Services powered by High Rise.
Chopping them trees, baby.
Check out that watermelon mimosa.
That's that gas.
If your local dispensary doesn't have it, tell them to pick that shit up.
Tell them they need it.
Hey, if you literally get your shit picked up, if you get Timber Pyramids picked up by your dispensary and you can somehow show us proof, we gonna send you some free shit.
We gonna hook you the fuck up.
Yeah. So
fat care pack.
If you guys somehow make it into your guys' local dispensary, DM us proof. If I don't know how you're gonna prove that shit, but you're going to be in the gang. We're going to jump you in the gang with a fat package.
Initiation.
Of who knows what. I'm about to light up this High Seasons Wonka. It's either Fatty Mac or Wonka or both. In a Brother's Broadleaf Pearl.
Gang.
We're going to get this thing started off. So, crazy year.
Where do we start? I was like trying to think back like... This week, I was like looking back at my notes from the year, just like random things, and just trying to like remember shit from the year. And just like so many things just kept popping up. And I'm like, oh, fuck, we did that? Damn, we did that too. Like, just so many things that I like already forgot because it just did a lot this year. It's pretty crazy.
Every time Fish and Jackson make like a reel or something, I have to sit down and watch it. And I get in my feels because I'm like, dude, I didn't even remember we did all this shit. Yeah. And then it like blows my mind that we've done all this in a year, you know? Like, holy shit, we forgot that happened. Holy shit, we forgot we had this event. Forgot we went there or we shot this with this person. So, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do this. I tried to take some notes the other night too, but I don't know.
So
I have
much.
To do research on our own brand, on our own company.
Yeah.
And it would have been quite difficult.
It's just
so.
Like overload.
So, yeah, I don't know. Some of your... favorite.
So let's say how we started the year off.
How did we start the year off?
So we started this 2021 off. We had a disco party here at the mansion.
Oh, my God.
And up until that point, we'd probably had like maybe like 20 parties, 25 parties, maybe something like in that area, whatever. And never had a fight, never had a like altercation, like never had any issues with people, like whatever. It's like fucking clock strikes midnight. We're all dressed in disco outfits. I have a wig on, like gold chains, super drunk. Like we're all just like having a grand old time dancing. It's like maybe like 1:30, 2 a.m. like first thing to do. Like I'm just like talking to someone, minding my own business.
Hold on,
like,
let me give you my part before it goes to your part.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, we had this security guard. He was basically extorting us for the job, and we had to hire him, and then we ended up hiring another set of security guards, which was a great move.
Yeah.
Great move, guys. And like you said, it's about 1:30, 1:40 in the morning. Our homegirl, Susan, who used to shoot photos for us, her friend left her phone in the house, and she was trying to give the phone to her friend, but the security guard was taking his job way too seriously, wouldn't let her hand the phone across the door to her friend. Meanwhile, I'm looking at him and his knuckles are bleeding. And he keeps looking down at his knuckles for me to see, to draw attention to it. And I ask him, like, yo, G, what's up? Like, what happened? And he's like, don't worry about it. Nothing happened. He starts getting all weird. And I'm like, this is my house, dog. Like, what happened? Like, I need to know. And he's like, don't worry about it. Keep in mind, I had like conversations with this dude earlier in the night. When I was dressed up in a disco suit, I had an outfit. I had a purple blazer. Yeah. I had a pink fucking dress shirt on. So me and him kind of start arguing a little bit. He doesn't want to tell me. I'm like, yo, tell me, this is my fucking house. And he's like, starts getting crazy on me. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? I'm like, I talked to you for 45 minutes earlier. And he looked at me. He's like, I don't know you. I never talked to you. My dumbass, completely wearing a different outfit.
Yeah, because you're just like, completely different outfit. Yeah.
Like, I'm an idiot. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? Yeah. Not realizing I had a wig on earlier.
Yeah.
So next thing I know, he runs directly past me.
Yeah.
Then I hear Kimmy start yelling, get Drew, get Drew, get Drew. Drew starts running down the stairs with no shirt on, from being asleep to running down the stairs with no shirt on. I know we got security guards, so I'm like stopping Drew because I'm like, you don't need to get into any shit. Like, this is why we hired security guards. Yeah. Like, I don't want him to get in trouble. And then,
I'm literally just talking to somebody. I don't even know who I'm talking to. I'm just minding my own business. Like, oh yeah, how's the kids? Oh, Sally. Oh yeah, she's good. Like, she just enrolled in school. Da-da-da, whatever. Literally, look over. This security guard runs up on me. He's like, yo, what the fuck? Da-da-da-da. Like, I don't even know what he's saying. He's just like going off on me, just yelling in my face. And I'm like, yo, bro, like, chill. Like, yo, calm down, calm down. I'm like, literally just going, calm down, calm down. And as I'm going, calm down, another dude runs up from behind him, sucker punches the fucking security guard. I'm literally 3 inches. I'm like face to face with this dude. Another dude runs up, sucker punches the security guard. They literally fall over right in front of me on top of the couch and start fighting. So I get in the middle and I'm trying to break it up, knowing that the security guard's like a fucking black belt, fucking like whatever the fuck, like a killer. Like literally like
no, probably kill someone. He had a Gracie jiu-jitsu jacket on.
And he has photos of like all these UFC dudes. He's just like gnarly trainer dude or whatever. And so they start fighting on the couch, and literally I'm like fucking wasted in a disco outfit. And I'm just like trying to break it up, and I'm like literally just having no luck. And I'm like trying to break these dudes up, and I'm just like, help, Fish, Drew. I'm just like yelling for somebody to come like fucking help me break it up. And then like Fish and security and everybody like run over and like grab the dude, like pick him up and like bounce him out of the house or whatever. You're just like, holy shit. Like there's a way to start our fucking new year with our security guard punching our guest in the face. And then I end up in the middle of the fight in a disco outfit at fucking 1 a.m.
Yeah, like. And it was like 40 minutes after he was supposed to be off the clock.
Too. Yeah.
And then, I mean, I have the footage. I ran in. I have the footage. Aaron's like, everybody chill. Yeah. Everybody chill. And then
I'm all fucked up trying to keep the peace.
You have the two other security guards just picking him up and carrying him out. And he looked like he was like coming out of a blackout. Like he was looking around like, what happened? Like, what'd I do? What happened? Like, the look on his eyes was crazy.
He's just a crazy person.
No, legitimately crazy person.
Legitimately crazy person, yeah.
Yeah, so that's how we brought in the new year.
Yeah.
But it wasn't any indication that the year was going to be shitty because it turned out to be a pretty good fucking year.
Yeah.
It's not a bad year.
That was a funny way to kind of kick things off. And then I kind of like don't really remember January at all.
Me neither.
Couldn't tell you.
No.
Remember February, we did we had our OnlyFans party. Because on Valentine's Day,
oh,
that's like the only
yeah.
reason I remember that.
Yeah. We had it was a like a content day? Valentine's Day? What was it?
I wasn't even Maybe that was January. We did the content day with all the chicks.
Yeah, the baddies club.
Yeah. And then February we did the OnlyFans party for Valentine's Day. The lingerie party or the robe party or whatever?
Was I there? I don't even remember. Maybe
you might have stayed home for that one.
Yeah, I might have had to.
Might have let Uncle Aaron handle that one.
Yeah. and then March. We had my birthday in March. That was cool. We had like a fight night, one of the pay-per-views or something like that. I don't remember if it was like a... It was like the night that Aljamain Sterling got kneed illegally in the head. I don't remember who else fought on that card. But we had that. My little like fight night for my birthday was Mello. Obviously, 420 was lit. 420, we had the first annual chili cook-off, dude.
That was epic. That was one of my favorite events of the year, for sure.
That's one of my favorite events ever.
Yeah.
Like... The fact that the high-rise community is so fucking gang, gang, dude. Like, we're going to have a chili cook-off.
It's just dope, yeah, because whatever dumb idea we throw out there, like, everybody's just like, fuck yeah.
Everybody
like,
it's doubles like, down, yeah. bro. Yeah. It was like, we had like a dozen brands brought the fire chili to the house. These fools, like two of the brands were with their Traegers cooking tri-tip for like 10 hours the night before.
Yeah.
The fucking Bud Tender Awards gang, they did the chili and cheese in the Frito bag.
Oh yeah,
like,
that was good.
Super munchy style.
The pink sour cream. Somebody had mushrooms in their chili.
Yeah,
remember?
the Roach gang. PJ put some magic mushrooms in theirs. It was just like people were down. Like the fact that people just get our backs, dude, is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like, I remember like me, Drew, I think Mac and Joya and Stu Fry were like judging it, and I look up and there's like 70 or 80 people watching us judge this shit.
Yeah.
And I was just cracking up in my head.
Yeah.
Like, this is so fucking
just the whole
funny.
Thing. We had a fucking world championship belt made. The best part, I make my chili. I literally have cooked in this house. That might have been the only time I cooked in this house. I literally just dumped a bunch of miscellaneous ingredients into a crock pot and just poured a beer on top. And I got second place.
Dude, so funny.
And people were just like slow cooking their fucking ribeye and whatever the fuck, like all this shit. Like,
yeah.
It's so funny.
Like Vacation, I think they had the pink sour cream.
Oh, yeah, Rama
cream.
Went in on the...
There was some really good chili.
Yeah.
And then we had a crazy sesh at 420. Had a bunch of giant, like, 2-ounce joints. And,
oh, yeah, that was sick.
Maybe even bigger than 2-ounce joints. But
like smoking out the whole fucking house.
That was a legit 420.
So that week, I remember we had four events. I remember we did a 420 like breakfast, and then we did a 420 chili thing, and then we did my birthday, and then we did two other ones in between those. Because I remember it was like event, two events, event, event, break, event.
Oh, and your birthday was
to cap it off. Yeah.
And I thought your birthday was going to be Project X.
Yeah.
Like, I for sure, Aaron will always surprise you. Don't let him fool you. He will fool you. Look at this motherfucker. It's part of his plan. He's trying to fucking fool you. Because just look at him. What are you going to expect? Like,
yeah, what do you
You're
think?
Like, what could this dude possibly do?
Come on.
And I thought for sure we're going to have like a 500-person party, Project X, the cops, the helicopters.
No, like
we were going to have.
Like,
and it was mellow. It was like a dope-ass little kickback.
Yeah.
But I was prepared. I was like anxious.
Yeah.
I was like,
I wasn't worried about that one. I was worried about Halloween. Halloween, I was like petrified. Like... Because my birthday, I was like, whatever. I didn't try to go to, like, whatever. And there wasn't that many. It was like, whatever. I was like, we'll be good. You know what I mean? Halloween was like.
But also Halloween, we were, like, getting shit from the neighbors and, like, the.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, the office cop from the Beverly Hills Police Department, not even a squad car, the dude who, like, talks to the DA about breaking up, like, parties, showed up to our house. Gave us his card and was saying that it wasn't just like noise complaint shit. It was a specific neighbor that has it out for us. And that was like a week before Halloween, which we knew we were going to blow this place
out. We're like planning all this shit, all this money, all this like stuff already like into it, you know?
All these brand sponsors like bringing shit in.
Literally pulled it off perfectly.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Every time.
Dude. That one.
But yeah. So what? Go back to April.
I don't.
So April, I remember we had five events because it was just like, back to back to back to back to back. And then I remember we had our Roach launch. We did our collab of our pen, which was like our first actual weed product, the pink lemons.
And that was this year?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was like February or March.
Yeah. So we introduced our first collaboration with the legal cannabis market with Roach. They make disposable 0.3 live resin pens. And, you know, they came onto the scene last year and it was a super cool product. So we we're excited to start working with them. And then we did a collab. We got into how many dispensaries?
80 something.
Opened the doors of the Pink Lemons.
Both fucking drops. Fucking crushed it.
Got to do some cool content, painted some lemons pink, shot some cool shit, had some roach takeovers at different dispensaries. Did a bunch of shit with Roach last year. We did the Free Thinkers. We shot these cool free, it's like a little mini TED Talk type thing. You guys could check it out on, I'm sure, the Roach YouTube, but we did one with, where we fully shot it, produced it, edited it. We did one with Madzilla. We did one with Wonder Brett. We did one with Alicia Goku. And it was really cool. That was the first time we really kind of like produced like a
live
talk,
show,
you know?
Kind of thing. Yeah.
So,
and that was we also fucking just remembered did a documentary. We put out our High Rise documentary. I think we put that out in April too. April or May or something, right around that time. So we put out like our 20, 30 minute, like 10 year story of High Rise, kind of like going a little deeper into the origins, the background.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun to work on. That was chill.
It's like, everybody sleeps on us. Everybody like the community holds it down for us, and we appreciate you guys. But you know, there's a lot of people just don't even acknowledge
just
our existence.
Day, yeah.
You know, like write us off we've never so been hard. Nominated for one award for an agency, for marketing, for anything. We've never even been recognized. There's people that like fucking 100 followers that do one photo shoot and then they get write ups in Forbes. Like nobody fucks with us. Like everybody just acts like we don't exist. So. We have a crazy ass story, like me and this dude growing up together and skating, and then me doing my skating thing and Aaron doing all starting High Rise and doing all the merch and shit. And nobody's ever been interested in telling our story, and it's really hard to tell our story. So we just decided to tell it ourselves.
Yeah, we're like, fuck it. We just need to do this. We have so much footage, so much shit from the last like 20 years. Pretty crazy.
That's even one of those things when you're like, all right, I want to do this documentary. I'm just like,
and I feel like there's just so much shit too we didn't even get to touch on because it's too much. It's a lot of shit.
Yeah, we could break like our skate shit into a 20 or 30 minute thing. We could break the first 2-3 years of High Rise. You could break starting the YouTube with Mac and Joya.
It's all like its own little chapters. Yeah,
into like a hour thing.
Yeah.
So that was really cool, and that's just the start. And you know, I don't know. I'm sure we'll work on some other stuff with some other people in the future. Let some other people kind of maybe try to tell the story. And then we're always doing so much shit that we're going to have to keep. That's just going to be episode 1.
Yeah. Yeah. For
the High Rise story.
There'll be more in the future at some point. But yeah, that was fucking dope. And then what? And then into fucking May, summer, Paul Flowers, Vegas.
Who knows?
Oh, we went to G4 Live Vegas. I think that was May or June or something.
G4 Live? Got to see Travis Barker on stage, freestyling on stage to Drake and Bobby Shmurda. That was sick as fuck.
They fucking hired us to come shoot it. We get there. They take away all of our passes. So they hire us to come shoot their event, but then they take away all of our passes so we can't access any parts of the venue. And so we're like, what any like typical like agency do? They'd be like, fuck this, we're leaving, or like, we're not going to do it, or whatever. What does High Rise do? The boys go straight to the bar, start taking shots, and then sneak into the VIP section and film the entire event, sneaking past security, and then fucking give them the deliverables 10 times what they ordered.
And Jackson
after they literally just like vibed us out and took all of our fucking passes away after bringing us out to Vegas. Like, and we just murdered it for him. It was just like so classic. And Jackson's just like blacked the fuck out drunk, like,
barefoot.
Running around in the fucking water with his camera, just like fucking
barefoot
going
on stage.
For it. Yeah.
Running around the whole trade show in a Rove crop top.
Oh my God, that was epic too. Yeah. Then at the actual trade show, he literally wore a women's crop top as he filmed the entire trade show. Like, I just love being able to just do whatever we want. Like, it's insane. Like, it's just oblivious. It's absurd. It's like, if you're going to like wear, you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't even know how to. I can't even talk right now. I'm speechless.
Our employees leave us speechless. Yeah. Our team is fucking
the best.
Quite the gang.
Quite the eclectic crew. So we popped up to Vegas. That was fucking.
We got to meet.
Oh, we met
Max
our boy Max
Griffin.
Max Payne.
UFC middleweight contender.
Keep an eye out for the fight party.
Yeah,
the watch party.
We're like huge UFC fans, and we were at the pre-party, the Travis Barker show or whatever, and we're just vlogging, shooting all this lit shit. And, you know, when I got the vlog cam, I'm just going to shoot whoever's getting lit. Like, if you're getting lit, camera's on you and you can get more lit for me. So this dude in cornrows just kept, every time I pulled the camera out, he was just rocking out with me. And then we're leaving and we're all just like turned heading into the casino from the pool area. And this, we're still vlogging. And this fool is just all of a sudden like with us, with his arm around us, like rapping with us and just turning up with us. And we get to the show the next day and Max Griffin has a CBD booth with the giant cutout. And I was like, that was fucking Max Griffin.
No, we had no idea.
You know? And then I didn't want to like go talk to him because I would have just fanned out on him. And then I wait till we get home and I go to his account from High Rise TV and he's following us. So yeah. I'm like, I'm signing this motherfucker's DM, and I'm like, yo, you got to pull up Basecamp or whatever. He's like, oh, I already know about that. Yeah. And I was like, no fucking way. So ever since then, we've been connecting with Max. And it's just crazy how these UFC dudes are just so fucking slept on. Like, for this real. Dude's been in the UFC for a minute. Everybody knows him. Like, not mainstream, obviously, but if you're a fight fan, you
fucking know this fool. He was in, like, the
fucking
video game, like, when I was, like, 23 or something.
Yeah.
Like, he was in the fucking, like, old school, like...
Like, I've never heard any... I'm a huge fan of this shit. I watch all the UFC stuff, and I never hear anybody say anything bad about Max. Like, everybody loves him. It's like... But I'm sure this dude's underpaid as fuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Just everybody's... Like, unless you're, like, champion.
Everybody right? is underpaid as
champion,
fuck, yeah.
Even if you're a champion, you're underpaid.
Yeah.
You know? You pay like $150,000
yeah.
to come fight.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got to meet Max. So that's rad. It's just like, as fight fans, that's cool. So next year we're going to have a fight night with a watch party with Max here. Whenever he's in town during an event, we'll probably get the pay-per-views, have him and maybe a couple dozen people over and kick it with Max Payne Griffin.
Yeah. That'll be fucking dope.
And like watch the fights with him.
Yeah. June, that's only May. I mean, I guarantee June, we did a joint rolling contest.
That was sick.
With Ember Valley.
That was fun.
That was fucking pretty tight. Who won? It was like a tulip or something? Or like a Yana one?
Dab and Russian won. It was like a twisted joint plus one. So I don't know what we're calling that, but it was like that. Liana rolled a super dope.
I thought her shit was sick, yeah.
It was like almost like a pipe joint that had flower petals around it. There was a lot of really cool art that went down, a lot of really nice donuts, double joints.
Yeah.
Cross joints, couple cross joints were cool.
We went to San Francisco also in May.
Was that Sacramento? San Francisco.
Sacramento, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, me and Fish
we shot
stopped.
The Greenworks shit, and we saw Natura. We went to Pounds. I feel like we met a bunch of homies that trip.
Sacramento, that was a cool trip. We've been up there before, but that specific time getting to kick it with, I don't know. We just went to Midtown with our boy Ears and Rare Jordan and Nick from Nug, Mark Mabutes, bitch. A bunch of fools rolled up. Willie Trees rolled up.
Fuck yeah.
And we had this super sick crew, and the whole time we were in Sac, it was this vibe, you know? And Sac has a bunch of brands up there and they have a good community, but for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem like united or what. I don't know. It's more like they have a lot of industry there, but I don't think there's a lot of like social media cannabis community.
Yeah.
People that are trying to be in the scene there. So they have.
It doesn't seem like there's really a community there or like there is obviously, but not like it is here. Like it's not as tight knit or something or not as like. I don't know how to explain it.
Like there's. Industry heads because there's distros, there's grows, there's shops, there's like all sorts of shit up there, but I don't know, I feel like anybody who is in a community like a big city in a legal state or even a medicinal state, you guys gotta bring your community together, make sure you do a lot of events, try to have somewhere that's like the epicenter where everybody can come meet up, you know, like whether it's like a specific dispensary or a spot that a dispensary builds is kind of like it's not like licensed lounge, but just a place that people could come kick it, a place that you can throw events, a place that you guys can have your little mastermind sessions. And it's all about just cultivating your local community because it's all going to start with that. Yeah. You know, like we could all go and hit up Mac and hit up Angela and hit up, you know, Cynthia, but like you got to develop those personalities in your own local community, like create your own Adamil, like get some dude that hosts all, find out, like cultivate and find out who is the dopest local cannabis host like passionate stoner that is good on the as an MC and have that fool host all the shit, you know, in the area. And then everybody gets familiar with them. You start building the scene. So I feel like Sac just needs to, I don't know, whoever's going to be the first one to do that. Like, build, I know,
we still need
spot.
To do some shit out there, something.
Because there's a lot of people. There's a lot of good weed.
Even if we just do some shit out there, like, people. Once a quarter or something. Mm-hmm. Like, every couple months, go out there and do an event with everyone or some shit. That'd be tight.
It's just dope to bring people together. Because, like, we're in this position where we work with all the brands. We're not specifically, like, in the bubble of one brand.
Yeah. You know?
We work with everybody, and we love bringing everybody together. Going back to the Chili Cook-Off, we got all these brands that are having a friendly competition. Like, yeah, you guys are competitors on the shelves, but that doesn't mean you guys got to talk shit. That doesn't mean you guys got to, like, try to hold each other back. We can all be in the same building, and we can all fuck around and have fun, because everything's a revolving door here. Everybody, this person's going to work at that brand, then they're going to move in 18 months over to this brand, and then 2 years later, they're going to be over here. So there's no point in, like, being competitive with other brands. Like, we're all growing this shit together. If anything, we're in a fight against the taxes and the state fucking and federal legalization.
The fucking man. So, And we had a weed pong. That just reminded me. Competition, bring all the brands against each other.
Yeah, shout out, like, Jade House. Jade House won that. Stephanie went to the local university frat house and picked up two of the finest beer pong players.
Yeah, and they tore it up.
And they just ran through everybody. We had Headset sponsor it. Headset's like 100-milligram beverage, and we poured like 2.5 in each cup. And then people were just pounding the rest of it when they lost, and there was a bunch of faded fools walking around. I was like shooting the vlog, and like James from Artisan, and I forgot who he was with, and they just looked at me so high, like, dude, I just pounded the bottle because we lost. They were just fried.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I can't fuck with the edible drinks. They get me. They'll get you.
Shout out to Pyramids. If you guys want to get high,
best gummies in the
affordable
game.
Price, ask your dispensary about Pyramids edibles.
Now back to you.
Now back to the show.
What else? So we had Andy Dick. Andy Dick was in my fucking room.
Andy Dick tried to take Drew home.
Andy Dick
said he was going to pay
YouTube plaque, I think.
Allegedly. We think Andy Dick stole our YouTube plaque, but Andy Dick did say
that that was top three weirdest things in my entire life.
I mean, you were chilling with Andy Dick at 4 o'clock in the morning in your room.
I just like walk into my fucking room at like 2 a.m. and just like, there's like 15 people in my room, and I just like walk past and I like see this like older dude, like looks like he's like someone. You could just tell he's someone. And I like kind of glance. I'm like, what the fuck? And then like whatever, walk back. And then I glance at him again. I'm like, fucking Andy Dick. And then I'm like, no. And then like whatever, then I come back a third time to fucking confirm, and I'm like, that's fucking Andy Dick, he's talking to Ethan, and they're just talking by my fireplace, like whatever. And then like 30 minutes later, Andy Dick's like sitting in the corner of my room with someone else, and he's like, hey, you come here, I want to talk to you. And he proceeds to interview me for probably like an hour. Fully thought that I just was like the biggest baller, fucking like thought I had like bought this house and like all this shit. And I was just like, literally just like, oh, like, yeah, you know, like just like playing it super whatever. And he's like, he just starts getting all mad. He's like, I live in a fucking shack and they're condemning my house right now and I'm getting evicted. And fucking wait, you just shoot weed photos and you're in this fucking house. He's like getting all mad and shit. And I'm just like, dude, it was the fucking weirdest thing. And then him and Drew started having a full therapy session. And then,
oh my God,
it's like 5 a.m. And like finally it's like, okay, like, can you fucking go home now? Why are you here? Andy Dick, you're in my room.
Excuse me,
Mr.
Dick, can you Mr. please?
Dick,
I'm trying to sleep, Mr.
Can you
Dick.
Fucking exit the premises, sir.
Ace, I need you to remove. I need you to remove Mr. Dick. Mr. Dick from the thanks for coming, Mr. Dick. See you next time. Yes, you can't write this shit.
Sips whiskey. Sips bourbon.
So fucking, Andy Dick.
Oh, Chuck Liddell was in our house. Also,
we didn't even, or no we idea. Didn't even know until we saw the story.
Yeah.
We're like, Chuck Liddell was here? The Iceman was here?
There's probably three parties out of the like 60 or 70 that we did. And I, three parties that I didn't even come out of my room for. And there's probably two parties where I had to go and hide in my closet and sleep in the corner and hide from everybody.
Dude, so everybody just barges Aaron's room like it's the fucking VIP. And then it'll be like 4 a.m. and this fool is just like, okay, I want to call it. But he's like the nicest dude. He's not going to ever say anything to anybody. So he just goes into his closet and he sleeps.
People just party in his room.
Yeah. Wait, whatever. I'm out.
It's wild. And that's only June.
What?
And that's only June.
Yeah, for real. And then what was June? June was joint rolling contest with fucking Ember Valley, which was pretty dope. And then
you could use Josh right now. Josh would really be helpful.
I know, we're probably fucking leaving out so many things. Whatever. July. Skip it in July. 7-10.
But these are also just the main parties. We're not even talking about just little mixers.
We did
that
two to four events on top of all these every month per month that were like industry mixers, like just having different parts of the industry, like,
or private event for
bartenders, buyers, dinners, like, or yeah, hosting private events for other brands. Like, we had like a private dinner event for Fidel's. That was pretty sick. They had like fire dancers and shit, like sunset dinner. Like, we had like a fucking Sea Junkie dinner. We had a Cali Kush Farms dinner. We had fucking, I don't even know. We had so many different dinners, like, and just different like events. I don't even know. I can't even keep track. Like, it's absurd.
It's like perfect. Absurd. If you're a dispenser, if you're a brand and you just want to like treat your employees to a nice dinner, come to like the most smoking friendly place.
Right.
Everybody can just sesh. There's torches and rigs and dab rights and anything you need. Gym. Hemper bongs, MCs, legendary MCs, and then the view. So it's like, why are you going to go spend a shit ton of money? You guys can just host it here and, you know, cannabis community.
Yeah.
One of my favorite events of the year, which wasn't even an event, it was just a sesh. We had over the legend himself, Dabin Maniac, came through, and he put down about, you know, 20 plus grams of wax to the face. He took a 14 gram diamond of a heavy hitter's diamond that he just took it to the face. It was crazy. And then he did like a double Stunden dab. He did the double terp slurp to me, which was crazy. And then his homies were just taking like 0.5 gram dabs like every 20 minutes.
Yeah, that
Fish took like a point. Insane. Fish took a fat one, dude. And yeah. he did it like a champ. Like, he like killed it. And you could tell. They were like, kill it, kill it. And he was like, the peer pressure was getting to him.
He's
like,
he took
the fattest dab. He was so high. I took one of the biggest dabs I've ever taken. I was lit trying to host that vlog.
Yeah, I bet.
Kimmy took a fat dab. Me and Fish tried to close that out, and we were just fucked. If you guys go watch the Dabin Maniac vlog, the outro's hilarious. And then Abel was just, Dabin Maniac is just more energized when he left than he was here, than when he showed up.
Yeah.
This is savage. That one's cracking on YouTube. That shit's like, that shit's still getting like, it's getting like 10,000 views a week or some shit, you know, and hella comments. So that was one of my favorites for sure. I feel like there's another thing.
Oh, we did the world record edible.
Yeah, Le Chef TJ.
How many milligrams was it? 3,000? 30,000?
No, it was 25,000.
25,000. It's way off. And that was the same day as the High Times cover.
And we shot a High Times cover.
In the same week.
Yeah, Chef TJ fucked a lot of people.
Yeah, I didn't even get to try it. I was bummed.
It was really good.
I was like really expecting them to leave a little bit.
There's
like 7 feet of fucking edible. I'm like, bruh.
It was
can I get like a
fucking
slice?
It was longer than this table.
It was absurd.
It was delicious. It was vegan. It was like fudge. And it was really good. I ate like half of a piece. And half of a piece felt like 70, more than 75. Yeah. And there's people who don't really consume edibles who are eating like 150 milligram size piece.
Yeah, that was gnarly.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry about that.
There was warnings. There was warnings everywhere.
How about there was probably two events, one specifically where somebody ate our medicated edibles out of our vending machine. These three dudes from Florida came. The coolest fucking dudes. One of them just had like he had like a white beanie on with like a white fucking jean jacket.
Oh, hella ripped jeans.
White ripped jeans with like the fucking tinted like shaded sunglasses inside with like all the fit like. Just the coolest fucking dude ever. And like him and his two homies, and they're just like so cool. And like, dude, one of them ate like 10 on accident, and the other one ate like 5 or some shit. And the other homie that they were with like didn't eat it, and we're all up in my room, and like one of them was just like straight sleeping. Like one of them was just like KO'd like on my fucking little white like thing, and the other dude was just like so high, dude. And I was just like, oh, like sorry about that. Like,
oh,
my bad.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of people. On my birthday, Brian Andrade came over and he was like, dude, those were medicated? No wonder I was feeling crazy when I left. He's like, I ate like a handful of those.
Yeah.
So yeah, the malt balls. Having a vending machine with pretty much unlimited medicated malt balls.
Yeah, that was a dangerous idea for sure.
The nights that I stay here, it's just like, oh, it's 8 o'clock. Let me crank this thing clockwise like 15 times.
Those are strong too. Those punch fucking malt balls are slappers.
Yeah, we did a bunch of stuff with punch. The 7-10 event was punch was one of my favorite events too. It was like 200 people here, and it was everybody was just using a library voice, an inside voice.
They
outside.
Killed it. They had like fucking all this dope fucking like furniture rental stuff set up with like screens. They had butlers. Is that what you call them? Servers? Butlers?
Catering. The dude who's thrown 150 parties in the last year.
Well, no, but they had
half.
Like the specific fucking like fancy ones, like not just like your average, you know what I mean? Like it's whatever. Fucking they're coming out with like all this fancy shit. And then they had like giveaways. They had the dab rigs. We had the fucking Connor fight, McGregor fight on.
Connor broke his leg.
They had like valet. Lit. Like they went all out for that party. It was cool. They had like cool little like activations and shit. Like
it's just a vibe. Yeah, they punch and floating in the pool. It said punch floating in the pool.
They did like
awesome.
The 7-10 letters thing was cool. Like all lit up.
Yeah, they had
the Puffco had a booth.
The comedian Frank Castillo was hosting. He's hilarious. It was just a vibe to me because it was just. When you get 200 people together and everybody's like using an inside voice and everybody's just seshing hard, just unlimited dab bar, giving away a bunch of 5 custom dab rigs, like, and it was just the mellowest vibe. It was almost too mellow. And that was cool because the Connor fight happened and Sugar Sean beat the shit out of that one kid.
Oh, yeah, that was sick.
And then everybody was going nuts. All of a sudden, there's like 80 dudes in our living room. Just yelling. Nick from Punch was just going he was going nuts. It was hilarious. And then Connor breaks his leg and the whole room is just
ooh, that's so brutal.
And the whole room just erupts. And then 15 minutes later, the house is completely empty by like 11 p.m.
Yeah.
And I was like, this was the best day of just 200 people here, super respectful.
No, that was a chill. That was a long one too.
And they and it's by like 11, you guys went out that night. It was like and having them clean up because it was their event and we didn't have to worry about it and stuff. That was like definitely.
Where did we go that night?
I don't know. I left. I think you. Yeah, I remember it was
Josh
like
Josh went somewhere. I think or something.
Grasshopper went with you guys. I know she like Kisa and Hoppa, maybe V.
Yeah,
but that was only July.
Dude, fucking goddamn it! I don't even know. So many things. So what, that was a 7-10 party. That was lit. And then going into August, what happened in August?
Dude, also you guys, I don't really remember with these events. These events is Aaron, Josh, Kimmy, and then you got.
I think by August it was like let's slow down the events or September. August or September it was like all right, I'm about to fucking die.
Yeah,
I'm gonna die. Like, dude, it's just some of them are just so absurd. Just like in terms of this, like the planning or like lack of planning, and just how fucking smoothly they just. Went every time. It's just like kind of crazy, like just all so rushed. Like this is like a side thing. This isn't a main focus of ours at all. This is like
5% of our
time. This is like marketing for us, and it's like building community and like fucking just our brand. It's just branding. It's what we do, you know what I mean? Like tire ass shit, you know? So like I don't know, but just it's not like we just solely focus on these events. It's just kind of like a natural like, oh, let's just do a fucking event or whatever. Like so just throwing these events with just literally no time or money or resources. I guarantee you, if you added up all the money we spent on every event, it would be less than one corporate
for
budget, lackluster fucking corporate party. Like any like, dude, I guarantee it. Like probably way under. Like if people even knew what the fuck we spent on these parties, they'd fucking. It's laughable because every time I go to an event, it's the same thing every time. It's the event person that's like, yeah, I only had 6 weeks to plan this. It's like coming from an event person who works for a multi-million dollar company who has a fucking unlimited or not has a real budget, has resources and has time. And then it's like, and it's a shit fucking event. And then it's like, we have like no time, no resources. We do have resources. We have no time. We have no budget and just fucking knock it out of, and you know, it's just, I don't know, it's hilarious. It's very laughable.
Like, I feel like obviously that's like you, Joshua, and Kimmy. I think last year was goddamn boot camp for you guys. It was like Navy SEAL training.
Was just learning, fucking learning so much about just fucking events and properties and fucking just all the shit that goes in this house that literally none of you have any idea. Like, no, it's absurd.
This shit that these fools deal with is crazy. But I also feel like this year, just I think we kind of just toned it down and kept it specifically cannabis only.
That too.
And it's like,
that's where it got a little squirrely a couple times.
When we have like regular like Hollywood fools coming up here, clout SoundCloud fools and random ass fucking dudes coming up here disrespecting the house because they don't know what this community is. And, you know, we kind of tightened up this year and kept it more cannabis. And that's like a testament to the cannabis community and the high rise community and everybody that like, fucks with us and supports us is everybody is so respectful, dude. Yeah. Like when we have these cannabis events here, nothing, dude, there's never been like an argument. We've had over 100 events. There's never been a fight besides our own security guard punching or someone. Like it's pretty crazy. And I think that just has a lot to do with, you know, the people that in the community.
Yeah.
It's like dope ass, fucking cool ass, respectful people. So shout out to y'all. Y'all make this house like what it is, for you know? Because if this shit was a shit show all the time, we wouldn't be having all these events.
Yeah, that's for sure. So yeah, that's our 2022 goal. We're gonna do still gonna do a lot of events, but just have them a lot more planned out and a lot. Like, yeah, it was just getting to the point where it's just like, wait, why are we doing? Why do I have 6 events planned this month? Like, what's like? I just got done throwing 54 in the last like 4 months or whatever the fucking number is. You know what I mean? I'm just like, okay, I don't need to be going like 500 miles an hour like all the time. Like, I mean, we do, but like we don't. You know, it's like we could fucking literally go 150, you know? And like, so it's like, yeah, it's just get a little overboard there sometimes. And it's just taking a look back. It's like, all right, we're fucking good. You know what I mean? Like, we proved our point.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like next year, let's kind of, you know, do less events doper, and make them better.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and like, let's learn how to grow it and maybe throw like a 500 person event and then like
do
a
some other 1,000
person event maybe by the end of next year.
Work our way up.
And really like start opening it more to the public and all still cannabis people, but like, you know, more consumers instead of just industry and, you know, our community.
Yeah.
So more of the high rise community can pull up and fuck with us and everybody around us.
I'm stoked to do the Bud Tender Festival. It's this fucking genius idea. I'm sorry. It's such a good idea. Think about it. We go to every fucking dispensary. We invite every bud tender. They're all going to come. They're all going to want to come. And then we make it so nobody else can come. Only they can come. And it's fucking solely for them. You know
and
what
you
mean?
Have all the brands sponsor
easily get 1,000, 2,000 bud tenders. And then exactly, you get like,
you get all the brands to sponsor it who are trying to get, you know, this FaceTime with the bud tenders, or bud tenders trying to get a FaceTime with the brands. And then there's like, I mean, you can do like, if we want to do education shit like in one area, and then we could do, you know, and then just show everybody a good time.
Yeah.
Like, thank you guys. Exactly. You bud tenders are the shit. You bud tenders are the front lines.
So slept on. Yeah. It's like, let's just fucking show support to like the ground floor up, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like, obviously we'll do other ones with other, you know, facets of different, you know, parts of the industry. But that one specifically, I just like, it's like a recurring thing. People like, I always hear people that go to shops and they're always like, oh, the bud tenders are like, oh, like, have you been to the high rise man? Or like they know, like they fucking know about high rise, or they know about the man or whatever. So it'd be cool to just like double down, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. So that'll be chill. But yeah,
September, anyways, October,
August. I fucking literally don't even know what we did in August at all. I can't even think of one thing. August was just like a blur.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think we like re-signed the lease here. Fucking chilled. I don't even know. September we had Hall Flowers.
No, or was Hall that August? More recent, or the other Hall of Flowers?
There's Santa Rosa.
Yeah, it might have been September. I think
that was September. I think, and we had the bus.
You guys had the party bus.
The party bus.
We had Jim hanging out the party bus. We had tagging all over the party bus.
That was epic. We got this like shitty party bus. We put like gang shit and fuck metric and all these like funny things, and just like pulled up the Hall of Flowers in it. Everybody's just like, what are you guys doing? Like, people are just, you guys are fucking idiots.
Or my cousin lives in Santa Rosa and she drove by the fairgrounds and took a video of the party bus in the parking lot saying gang shit on the side and texted it to me.
We're just like in the parking lot of the Motel 6, just like tagging this fucking big ass bus with gang shit.
Or you guys were just partying in the party bus in the Motel 6 parking lot with like 20 people.
Yeah.
Me and Fish go outside. We're about to go to sleep. We're about to smoke a nightcap. We go outside. Everybody's partying. We're like, fuck this. And everybody's just like, we're like ready to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Everybody's like on one. We're just like trying to sneak past it. And Ears just like, hey, sees us out the window, drags us in.
Classic Ears, like, dude.
God damn it.
That was a fun Hall Flowers. Because that was like the first one back in like a fucking long ass time.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the one I did the panel. I spoke on the little panel.
Your boy little, getting a little mic little, time.
The little marketing panel.
Drops in some gems.
That was chill. And then, yeah, we fucking got the River House.
Yeah, you guys should definitely check out that Hall of Flowers.
That vlog is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That one's so dope.
River House was great team bonding experience. Dude, yeah. That house was so sick.
I know. It was like, it looked like a cool house on Airbnb, but it didn't look anything crazy. And then when we got there, it was just like the dopest shit. I was like, dude, this is sick as fuck.
Dude, so good. Such a good time. Kayaks, canoes, you know, good new playlist.
Oh, yeah. That was like prime time of my music fucking, whatever the word is, blooming.
Like
my music was like starting to blossom.
Your musical bloom.
Starting to grow.
Musical sprout, bloom.
Spread wings. Oh, they calling.
Who is it? Put him on the podcast.
How are you?
It's Jim, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. And
River House. September.
October.
Then we fucking October. We went back to Vegas, didn't we?
You went back to Vegas.
Oh, I went to EDC. Boo, boo, boo. We can't forget that,
dude. EDC can't forget and that MJ one. BizCon. So
was that September?
I think so. Did we start the podcast at that
point? Or no, that was October was Vegas and EDC because it was right before Halloween. Oh, I also launched a DJ career. That was in August.
Or how can we forget the Trucadero?
And we partnered with Green Rocket Distribution and launched our partnership with them in August.
That was in August? It seems like so
July.
Long ago.
It was July. And we did the Green Rocket, the Culture Kings, Common Kings concert at the backyard.
Dude, that was sick.
Yeah, that was
those
tight.
Dudes were cool as fuck.
Yeah, they're fucking the homies.
They were so cool.
Yeah.
And the vibe was just, it's like string lights and these fools just putting on this, like, just the dopest, mellow ass, like, good vibe music out there.
And the cops pulled up.
Yeah, and I was like, if I was the neighbors, I would be pulling up.
Yeah.
Because it just sounded so cool. Like,
the fucking Triller,
so cool.
The Triller homie, him and his wife were like, what happened to the music? Like, we were on our balcony fucking list. Like, that was dope. And I'm like, oh, the other bitch ass fucking neighbor fucking complained. Like, cool.
Because it wasn't even like, it wasn't hip hop. It was just dope ass, like almost like island.
It was
vibe.
Like reggae fucking shit.
I don't even know how to.
Stoner shit.
That shit was dope.
And the fucking cops pulled up. I had to fucking. So they're just like, how many people are back there? I'm like, oh, there's like 30 people. There's like fucking 175. And I go tell them all to leave. I'm like, god damn it. And like trying to kick people out. And there's just like 100 people walk out. And she's like, I thought you said third. All this. She just gave me the hardest time. I'm just like, come on, lady. Like, I'm not fucking, you know what I mean? Like,
this isn't Project X. Yeah, keep it moving.
Come on. Keep it moving. That was what, August? So we did a distribution thing. I was a DJ at one point. Okay, so first I got on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Dude, this year's absurd.
What? My watch is dead and I keep getting phantom vibrates.
I got She's on been the Hollywood like fucking Walk of Fame. They finally gave us a high-rise star.
High-rise bitch.
From that spawned, okay, I can clearly do anything I put my mind to. So DJ Breadwinner. And that was literally me and you. I was just like, yo, I'm going to be a DJ or something. And then you're like, yeah, let's do it. And then fucking.
Well, of course you are.
And then that night I'm booked on Hollywood Boulevard at a fucking Trucadero historical.
Shout out to Aaron's, our Green Rocket partner / Aaron's DJ, talent manager, Lyra.
Literally just books me. And then I'm like, oh shit, I actually have to like do this now. And then 3 weeks later I performed and I fucking tore the goddamn roof off that place. And they'll be talking about that performance for years to come.
Oh, if you guys want to learn about DJ Breadwinner, please check out the story that I wrote on him.
That's on
my fiction,
Kentucky Channel 7 fucking publication that had published on 500 fucking news outlets.
That might have been some of my best writing of all time.
No, I share that with so many people. They're like, who wrote that? And I was just like, Derek.
Is that on our blog? Do we have that on our website?
I think it is on the website, yeah.
Please go to...
If you just Google DJ Breadwinner takes over Hollywood or whatever, something like that, see how that pans out.
see how his DJ career pans out, because he's going to be playing South by Southwest and EDC and all this shit in the future.
Two performances under my belt. I capped the first one off, I think it was in July or August, some shit. Then I came back hard. On October. I came back hard on Halloween.
Dude, Tony has brought that up a lot of times. So Tony is our DJ, and Tony's like, Kai, Aaron got those cheeks out, Kai.
He's like, I had one of my favorite porn stars was twerking in front of me, and I didn't even know. Like, so, the life how did she even get here?
It's the life of a DJ, dude. It's the life of a DJ.
Someone's got to fucking do it. No, I just see this like hot ass chick like fucking twerking like on the fucking shit, and I'm like, okay, whatever, nothing out of the ordinary here, whatever.
Pussy looks familiar.
But then like the next day, they follow me, and it's fucking Gia, whatever the fuck, Gia Derza or some shit, and I'm like, oh, I'm very familiar with your work, ma'am, young lady,
big fan.
Yeah, big fan. And I was like, oh, you're the one popping it 3 feet from my fucking turntables.
Or you have a mansion where porn stars that you watch show up.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, what? Yeah, it makes...
I'm proud of my boy right here. I'm old, not in that lifestyle. But if I was, you know...
The breadwinner
if
life.
If I was single and young, what a life. What a life.
Yeah, it's a life, all right.
So Halloween, we had a cool-ass party.
Halloween was sick as fuck. That was one of my favorite parties, too. I was like so stressed about it. I was like literally so worried about that party. And then boom, just went off without a hitch, put down the fucking performance. We had a good turnout. Everybody got lit. It was fucking sick. That was like great. A super dope
one. It was
a
good one.
Yeah.
Like last year, Halloween was insane.
Oh my
God. That was like a rager. Yeah. This year was like pretty, it was still rage, but it was like,
it was like a controlled, kind of like manageable. Controlled rager. Well, the first one we had no security.
The first one was insane, but it still turned out to be good and not too crazy.
Yeah.
Even though inside and outside of the house was completely filled, but it was dope. Drew rolled that dope-ass joint.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, that was fucking sick.
I'll never forget that. Yeah, Halloween. That was
gang. He was the BCC, and I was Dan Bilzerian.
That was,
It was a good one. So at this point, we're into November.
So that's November.
Which we pretty much had the podcast back.
November, we got the podcast back. At some point during the year, we launched Weekly Drops. Or maybe we launched it last year. Who fucking even knows at this point?
Yeah, Weekly Drops is cool.
Pumping those out. We launched our beer in November.
Yeah, a little high-rise hazy IPA.
We got our fucking collab with Aerolodge Brewery. Super fire fucking beer. We also probably started developing the fucking edibles and the flower at that time. Fucking... Had Thanksgiving, had Hall Flowers. That was November.
Yeah. So at Hall Flowers, and you guys pretty much caught up on everything. Yeah. If you guys listen to the show, that's...
That's a lot of shit.
Quite the fucking year, dude.
Yeah. Not bad.
Not bad. And that's it took us 50 minutes to just get through.
50 minutes? That's not bad.
To get through just 10 months
of our stuff. Yeah, and that's like probably fucking 50% of it. Oh, one thing that I... random of the year was... My meeting with the fucking Pablo Escobar family and Netflix. Netflix filming me have a meeting with the CEO of the Pablo Escobar family.
What?
I just want to cut all these little sound bites out and make a fucking edit. Like, it's just like, Andy Dick, get out of my room. And then it's like, Netflix film me with Pablo Escobar. And then it's like, through chili cook-off. You know what I mean? It's just like the most fucking...
Or...
Funny as shit.
My birthday present to Aaron this year, which might be the best $300 I've ever spent life.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite presents ever.
I got a custom Bruce Buffer Aaron intro on a green screen. Why would you do that? Why would you offer that on a green screen? Because we're going to do all the shit with it.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Bruce is going to be... We're taking that to the grave. 10 years from High Rise, you're still going to be using High Rise in Bruce's voice.
Yeah,
like,
for real.
So basically Aaron and then Fish chopped up this awesome edit to go along with it. And yeah, it was worth every dollar.
No, you guys did a good job surprising me.
Oh, we tried to.
I went on vacation or something and I came back and then you guys like, oh, watch this edit or something. Or watch this fight recap. I totally was believing it for like 20 seconds. And I was like, oh, that's fucking...
Dude, no, it worked out perfect because I wanted them to edit some shit to it, but like... I didn't want to have them work on it at home and shit. And be like, oh, go do this on your own time. So, and you missed half the day, so we got to work on it or whatever. And then the part was, how are we going to show it present to you without, you know? And Aaron was watching it across the room from his desk, and he really thought it was just Bruce introducing a fighter for the first, like, 15 seconds. And I'm like, I did the face swap, so Aaron's face is on a bunch of Conor McGregor clips, so Aaron thought it was just Conor from across the room. And it ends up just,
so
that
good.
Custom. We got Bruce, baby. Bruce, like I've said, I'm not going to ask anybody to take a selfie photo with, but if I saw Bruce Buffer, I'd be like, Bruce, come here.
That's when you have to. That was like Dana White. I was like, I'm saying what's up to this fool.
Bruce is the shit, dude.
Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite strains this year that you've smoked?
Timber.
That you've been introduced to.
Timber has this watermelon mimosa. Fucking fire.
Heard it's great.
Not for real though. The Zope. What's his name? Wizard Trees?
Wizard Trees Zope
was fucking gas.
That's my number one favorite flower of 2021.
Maybe that's probably number one for me too. Actually, I don't know. Okay. The Zope, the Birkins, the Winter Circle Birkins. I really liked that one too. And I had this Ember Valley, the Dole Whip.
Dude.
Those three.
That's so close to mine.
Yeah.
Mine is number one, Zope. Number two, 1942 from Winter Circle instead of the Birkins.
Yeah.
And three, Dole Whip from.
Yeah.
But these are also, this is just shit that I was introduced to this year. Not like, oh, I love the Fresh Bake OCD or Versace.
This is like some new shit we got.
Yeah. This is something that, really got to. A lot of the Winter Circle.
The watermelon mimosa, though, low key, though. Actually is like super fire.
I mean,
like
that's
super, super like tasty. Just like,
no, the nose on it is insane.
Yeah.
It's just got that like citrusy skunk.
33%.
34%.
45%.
It's got that citrus skunk. It's
got that funky monkey. That skunky monkey.
That's exactly what you need on a Sunday morning to cure your hangover. So yeah, that's some good strains. Let's go through. You guys sent us a gang of
talk to me
of questions here. So, let's say Godfather said been seeing stuff in the news about the weed market in Cali being a rough spot. What have y'all seen?
Accurate.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah. And like the latest is just what prices are just fucking going down. Everybody's coming in. I don't know.
It's like more
it's talking about something. Every fucking week, it's something new.
Yeah, we'll have to have somebody smarter than us on here about that, like Beard Bros.
That's
or something.
Like the general consensus, though. That I like the main thing I keep hearing amongst circles is that whatever fire fucking prices are going way down,
and the taxes they're trying to make the taxes go up, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean the Cali market's always fucked from everybody that we work with. Everybody's just frustrated all the time.
Yeah.
This Kiefer Stevens said, can we get more of Mac and Joya?
Yeah, fucking. We'll probably do some shit with them.
We always want to do more with Mac and Joya. Joya's out in Austin.
Just a little, yeah. She's a little harder Texas, now. So. Joya's in Texas, and Mac's got her OnlyFans career fucking blossoming.
Mac's just rich, so she doesn't
Mac's
have to do shit.
Fucking counting money right now.
She's
so
just Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah, but I'm sure we'll do some shit with them next year at some point.
This one's from, this one says, who's your favorite Frenchie from Jean's Probably High?
I was going to say Jean.
Jean's our only Frenchie. Jean's our only Frenchie. Yeah. Let's see. This one says, just got the new Ghost Vapes MV2 and am loving it so far.
Tell you. Let me stop you right there.
What's the best temp to get max flavor?
Fucking press the off button and throw it in the trash can.
Throw in the fireplace, see what happens.
I threw the life-size MV1 cutout out the window. It's in our bushes currently. Along with a Carvana backpack and a fucking...
I'm going to retrieve the Ghost Vape MV1 and put it in Josh's room.
I know. I don't know why. I really don't know what I was thinking. Got a little aggressive there.
So Ghost Vape's MV1, if you guys have ever heard of it, never heard of it. We work with this brand for months, and after about 6 months working with them, if you held a gun to mine, Fish, and Aaron's head and told us to work that thing, we wouldn't be able
We'd
to tell you how to get it to work.
Long gone.
We would be in the afterlife. Oh, God. All right. Lou B. Crazy said, when you guys coming out to Massachusetts? Hopefully in 2022. Whoa.
Massachusetts.
Boston? Ever heard of it? Yeah, no, Massachusetts is sick. I got mad homies in Massachusetts. I go out to Taunton like every other year to skate. And I know Massachusetts always had like a big, like Mass and Rhode Island have always had like huge communities. They have the Freedom Rally in Boston. So, I mean, I think Josh has talked to a brand either out of Rhode Island or Massachusetts that we were talking about maybe getting to at some point. We got Breezy Puffs. She said, how many Chads kicked out of the industry in 2021? Probably a few, but there's more coming in 2022. Yeah. So we're a deficit right now.
I feel like, yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of up and down, right?
Chads are
they come in, they leave, they come back, new ones come in, they respawn, more yeah. Chads are born.
More Chads. They're like they're like, what are they called? Gremlins. They get wet and then they just multiply.
Yeah.
Chads, you know, they're just good at concealing themselves nowadays. Somebody posted that after the last Santa Rosa Hall of Flowers. Like, be careful. Chads are starting to disguise themselves.
You need like a reptilian graphic.
Yeah.
You know how there's like the supposedly like it's like reptilians that run the world or whatever? That's like the thing. But it's like they like hide in plain sight or some shit, right?
No, we need to make like a Heady Boy.
Heady Boy?
Cartoon.
We need to make a Heady Boy.
But with like... Dude, I was watching way too much Yellowstone last night. And it's like a Heady Boy in like sweatsuit, tie-dye with like a duffel bag. And then he's got like reptile eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the Chad with the... Or he's got a blazer on over his tie-dye.
The blazer, yeah.
So I don't know. A lot of Chads out there, Breezy.
The war continues.
Beware. Get your
battle. The battle rages on.
Get your vaccine. So she also says, well, dude, she hit us with, she said, what's the best company you worked with versus the worst company you worked with? Let's not name names, but I was thinking about this. Maybe just say like,
fuck, just kidding.
Just beep, 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 beep. What about like, just what constitutes like a good client to us versus like a bad client, you know?
Okay. Let's break down three things of what makes a good client.
Yeah.
Number one, they pay their fucking invoice on time, in a timely manner. You'd be surprised.
It's child's play.
That's the number one plague right now in our community, in our industry. Okay, number one, pay their fucking invoices on time. Number two, communicate. Even if it's like coming from the dude that's the worst fucking communicator ever, but basic communication. Tell us you don't want orange shoes in your photo. Tell us you don't want tobacco, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Because how many times, like, we'll shoot some shit and they're like, I don't want that. So, okay, why don't you fucking say that then? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So it's like number, like, communicate what the fuck you want. Pay your fucking shit on time and fucking stay out of the way. Like, you hired us for a reason, or not us. You hired whoever specific skill trait for a reason to do a specific job because that's specifically what they're good at. So if you're fucking paying money and you're gonna hire somebody to do a specific job but that's what they do, fuck, let them do their job. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the number one thing. Is just so many like people that are 100 times less qualified than us trying to tell us how to fucking do our job.
Yeah, like imagine hiring a plumber and then sitting over their shoulder and telling them what
exactly
to do. But it's like everybody in the world thinks they know marketing because everybody has a phone and everybody's on social media and everybody thinks they're a fucking expert.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's three things not to do. What are some of the, I mean, I guess the three best things are just the opposite of that or what?
Well, no, fucking pay your invoice, communicate, and what was it, the third thing I said?
I don't know, I forgot already. Sit down, fool.
Oh, just and shut the down. Fuck up. Yeah.
It's like the Pop Brothers.
Mind your own business.
25 words and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, Pop Brothers always just, they're just constantly killing it. And she said, brands you see are big contenders in the market next year as popular and as all around best brands.
I think it's a clear cut. I don't even think it's going to be close. I think Timber and Pyramids are fucking the game up, and everybody else is just going to have to sit back and watch.
They're going to have to try them to see who they are.
I don't know. Let's see. I think
Steezy's just going to win always.
Steezy's always going to win. Steezy wins. Steezy wins.
I don't know. It's yeah, it's hard to say, really.
I don't know. It's going to be, like, interesting as all these brands start going to other states and, like, licensing out and branching out. And
how they do in other states, too.
It's going to be, like, super interesting to see how all that pans out. But I don't know. We'll have to just wait and see. It's like there's so much just, I don't know, it's a revolving door of brands. Like, how many new brands are at Hall Flowers that we just didn't even fucking ever heard of or know? Like, hundreds of brands.
Yeah.
That just, you know.
Hi, how are you?
We do this shit every day, all day. Like, we live this shit, and we haven't heard of 200 of these fucking brands that weren't here 3 months ago.
I mean, we'll see. High Seasons is new. Our boy Josh works for them.
I got faith in them because they fucking just put our boy Josh on. Josh knows what's fucking good, and they got good product, good branding.
I don't know if they're not necessarily going to take over, but I think as a brand, as a new, newer brand, like, I think they're going to, yeah, you know, put their flag down, whatever, how the fuck you say that.
It's like hard as shit. It's like, have fucking supply, have good product, have good price, and then market it properly, you know? I feel like they're checking most of the boxes so far.
Get a Barney or a Josh, you know?
Yeah, get the right, yeah.
Exactly. Hey, and like, I hope you guys like that Barney episode. Everybody fucking loves Barney. We got a lot of good feedback on it.
Yeah, that was dope.
Barney's the shit. East Coast Kid said, what brands are Derek's beanies, specifically the white one, which I happen to wear today. Looks wicked comfy. You must be from New England. East Coast Kid. It's like literally all the hundreds. Like Mike Franklin, just like once a year, will just bless me with like a bunch of beanies. I just wear the same exact beanie in a different color. I probably have like 20 of them.
Hundreds is fucking.
I have like nine orange ones in like different oranges. So what is the best form of marketing an agency or community can offer?
I mean, there's a lot of answers to this, but for us, like strategy personally next year, it's like curated, consistent events. That's it. That's not it. But that's like, that's where I see, honestly, like being able to just create fucking the most value in so many ways. Like, for instance, your new brand that just launched, like, okay, cool. Like every Thursday, we're going to do a fucking bud tender event. Every Tuesday, we're going to do a buyer event. Every month, we're going to do an influencer event, whatever the fuck it is. You know what I mean? Do that for fucking 6 months straight and watch how many fucking connections you make, and watch how much awareness your brand gets, and watch how much
support
assets you fucking create from it, and watch how much support you get, and watch how many orders you get. That being said, you have to have a fucking dope brand or dope product. You can't just have a shitty product and throw events and fucking whatever. But like, if you just consistently like do that and get in front of the fucking right people and build that, like, dude, it's like, I don't know. We've already been doing that, and that's why I'm saying that, because we've already seen it firsthand what's happened to us and all of these other brands that we've run through this kind of machine or whatever the fuck you want to call it. But it's like going even more like curated almost next year, you know? Like, I don't know. So yeah, I see
like experiential, like
exactly
more of an experience.
Exactly. Because you build these fucking relationships, you build these bonds, you build these experiences. People don't forget that shit, and people are going to be way more inclined to want to fuck with you and like be part of your shit if you're doing dope shit. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple.
It's doing shit for the community and not expecting an ROI.
Exactly.
That's the huge theme on this podcast. Don't expect an ROI. Do shit for other people. Show your support to them. Nobody's going to fucking show their support unless you should support them. Nobody's going to comment on your Instagram post, engage with you, unless you're engaging with them. Like, you have to be active, engaging in real life within the community and on social media. Otherwise, nobody's going to fuck with you. And just create these events, create that experience. It doesn't even have to be, you know, like we want to move on to something more experiential.
And yeah, but what I mean by events, like not even like events, like it could be 30 people, it could be 40 people, 50 people, you know what I mean?
It could
like
be 15
It could
people.
Be 15 people. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm not, yeah, it doesn't have to be like a full blown event, but like even if you're a small brand starting out, you can allocate a couple $1,000 a month and throw one or two of these little mixers and see fucking firsthand.
Very, you know what I mean? Easy. Like, you guys, and just be resourceful. You'd be able to get away with 150, 250 bucks, exactly, you know, just to host like 20 people or something. I always say just, you know, advice for marketing is just find a way to provide value. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're trying to help somebody with marketing, there's so many things you can do to market a brand or, you know, a person or whatever. Just what, like, find, ask people what, that's like our buddy Ears. He just walks up to people and he goes, what are the five things you need help with? And he's like, they're like, boom, 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 boom. He's going to have a plug for at least two of those things because he's just got a crazy Rolodex. So Ears is going to be like, oh, you need help with marketing? Cool. Grabs the person's hand, walks them over to us. Here's Aaron, Derek, Josh. Like, here's the marketing dudes, you know? So just provide value and ask people, you know? Don't pitch. Just don't stop pitching. Stop fucking pitching and listen. Listen to what the other person has to say, and then you'll figure out what they need, and then you can curate that value to them. Because, like, if you're just pitching, like, you don't know what the fuck they need help with.
Yeah.
They tell you, like, I need eyes here, I need eyes there, I need traffic or whatever. Then you can look in your skills and be like, I can provide you this value.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just always value. It's not just one thing. You know, marketing, if you know a bunch of influencers, people with a bunch of followers, like, you could be that middleman in connection to the brands to that. You know, you got a camera, you got a computer designer, whatever. Just how can you provide value? And then always just do shit for free to get your foot in the door. We do shit for free till this day, dude. We shout people out, we shoot fucking content, DM it to somebody, like, yo, let us know, you know, if you need anything.
It's like, it goes back to one of my favorite, like, marketing sayings or whatever. It's like, start fires everywhere, and then you want all the fires to come together into one big fire, and you fucking burn everything down. Like, that's like the fucking analogy, and it's like, that's literally fucking us. Like, start a fire over here, like, fucking do an event here, do brand here, do a collab here, fucking do this here, do content here, do YouTube there, do interview here, do, like, same thing. If you're a new brand, like, you need to be hitting all these different, like, getting product out. Like, let's talk about that. Like, how many brands launch or try to do marketing or whatever, and they don't want to give any product out?
It's like,
because they don't see the immediate ROI or whatever. But it's like, how the fuck do you expect anybody to see what your product is if you're not giving it out? Like,
or you're gift bagging the wrong people.
Or that.
You know, like, fucking Josh Karchmer kills it. He's just got this giant list of micro influencers that he just blesses, and every brand he works for, he gets off the ground because those people are in the community.
Yeah.
You know, their 10 to 30, 40,000 followers are in the community and they're seeing this new brand. You're not giving somebody with a million followers, fake followers, fit tea model chick, you know, 4% cannabis consumers, 1% California cannabis consumers. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. For whatever personal reasons that they want to give people shit, whether it's like they want to meet them, so I'm going to give you this free shit. It has nothing to do with the value of the brand.
Yeah.
You know? But that was a good one. Let's see. Cannabis Clouds 420. How do I get in the next video? Take a 17 gram dab. Just kidding. I don't know. What do you got? What's your value? Let us know. All right. And then we got Gin and Juice. Giant high-rise supporter. Best advice for someone to get into streetwear merch.
Ooh,
I thought you were going to say don't.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. If you're trying to make money, like, definitely have a backup. Or not a backup plan, but have, like, a real job. Like, what do you call it? Like a... Don't just expect to solely be able to fucking start a streetwear fucking company and just start making money. Like, it's next to impossible to have a fucking successful streetwear brand, let alone to have one for longer than 3 years, two
years.
Even if
you become, like, giant, fashion moves so fast, it's like, cool, you could be the FUBU.
And nowadays,
nobody's gonna fuck with you.
Nowadays, it's, by nowadays, I mean in the last 3 to 5 years, it's accelerated times 1 million.
The trend last 3 months, it's
because
out.
Think about it, anybody can fucking launch a clothing brand now.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Fucking take a picture of this fucking thing. Boom. App. DTG on a shirt. Dropship. Shopify. Fucking done. 15 minutes selling shit. Brand. Done. I'll fucking do it right now. You know what I mean? But, like, whereas, like, when I was fucking starting HiRise, it was like I had a fucking big cartel. It wasn't even Shopify. Like, there's wasn't even Instagram.
And you had to, like, find the sourcing, you know, like,
exactly,
drive around,
like,
from place to place.
Drive to LA and walk around for fucking 6 hours going door to door to door to door to door to door asking, do you do embroidery? Do you do screen printing? Do you have fucking white tees? Do you have fucking snapbacks? And, like, getting hustled and like spending $1,000 on flyers when it should be $100 and just all this shit just like left and right. And nowadays it's like, cool, fucking Derek's t-shirt shop up and running in 15 minutes, you know?
All day.
So now it's even harder if you're fucking trying to get into that shit. It's like, but with all that being said, it's, I always loved it just as a, like a creative outlet. Cause it's just like, I just like making shit and I like creating shit. So it's like super dope, especially with clothing, to be able to like make some shit and see people wearing it and see people like fucking with it. And like, I don't know. So like that was like dope, but like it's definitely hard to fucking like make money and build like a fucking career out of it and shit for sure.
Yeah. Definitely started as a passion project and just do it and do what you want to do, you know? And if some shit catches on, then run with it. But it is fun too, because it is like a fun little business thing and you get to learn a lot.
Like, if you're going to do a run of shit, don't fucking order 500 shirts or don't order even 100 shirts. No. Order literally 24. Do 24 shirts, do 12 white, do 12 black. See which ones fucking sell better.
Or even
order
better.
Order two, order 36. You know what I mean? Like, slowly figure it out or you're just going to be stuck with a bunch of random shit.
Or even better, if you do have a little following, just try to do the pre-order model.
Or that'll
save
too.
You mad money.
Yeah,
you know?
If you already have an audience.
You get like 36 orders, you run like 48, and then you have an extra couple to promo, and then you got the money up front.
Yep.
Best advice for someone, also by Gin and Juice, best advice for someone looking into getting to the apparel side of cannabis.
Watch out, because that's my lane. No, I'm just kidding.
like in terms of what? Just, like, in terms of doing manufacturing? Or did you think in terms of, like, making a brand, like, a lifestyle cannabis brand? Like, like High Rise started as a clothing brand, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's better. If you're going to... It's more niche. Cannabis is more niche than streetwear, but cannabis has more consumers than streetwear heads, you know, sneakerheads. So I think it'd be better to try to start like a lifestyle cannabis brand, clothing brand,
for sure,
than it would be to try to go into this, you know, sneakerhead hype beast streetwear shit.
Yeah. And it's like, even like if you just want to test things out and just play around and you don't want to actually like start a brand, there's so many apps on Shopify that you can literally download and like computer generate graphics onto all these mock-ups and just drop ship it. So you don't put up any money. So you could put like, you come up with a fucking Gin and Juice flower logo. Like, you can put that on a coffee mug and a pen and a fucking duffel bag and a lampshade and whatever the fuck. And then if somebody buys it, you drop ship it. They're going to pay way more than usual, but that's just a way to like of entry without having to put up any money really. So
You're going to have inventory.
Play around with shit.
It's
a good way to fucking test the waters.
And then this is the last question, also from Gin and Juice. Try to address this in every episode, but best advice for someone looking to get into cannabis.
Fucking just start doing it. Like, yeah, like if you're, I would say fucking move to LA or California and just fucking find the dopest dispensary and try to get a job there.
Yeah.
Go to every event, start talking to people, hit people up on IG, meet up with people. Literally just put yourself in the fucking mix and just keep doing that. And if you're dope and you provide value and you're a nice person, doors are probably going to open.
Yeah. Stay humble and just learn. Just be observant. Just be observant. See who this person is, where they used to work, where they're working at, you know? And then just try to plug yourself in and just stay humble. It's just like, be like the kid from Dazed and Confused, you know? Like the young kid from Dazed and Confused. It's like the quiet, humble kid, and he's hanging out with the older dudes, and like everybody's fucking with him, but he's like holding his own, but he's like young and humble and like not trying to like puff his chest out. He's just like, you know, don't mind me.
Yeah.
I'm just here, you know, and just like learn, listen, pick up shit and then find your way, you know, and just if you work hard, you're going to meet people like Barney who will just take you in and provide, you know, give you, what's it called?
Give you a fucking chance.
Give you money to help sell weed. All right. Let's go hit like one of these and then we're going to wrap it up.
This is quite the recap.
Let's see. So our boy Scott, Mr. Conservative on YouTube, he's like, my last question is about Delta 8. I want to know what brands this High Rise fuck with or who have you done work with or marketed for? So that's a long list. You want to go to our website?
Delta 8 specifically? Is that what he's asking?
This question is about Delta 8. Maybe he said, so my last question was about Delta 8. I want to know what brands... So in terms of Delta 8, we just work with Fuego and Moonwalker.
Moonwalker's dope.
in terms of like other brands, like, dude, we work with most of them.
All of them.
Yeah. Just literally check out our website. We have a bunch of case studies and
we
content.
Now work with, I don't know if it's every category, but it's pretty crazy. It's like the number one brand in like almost every single category. Like vape hardware, G-Pen, flower, fucking Wonder Bread cookies, fresh baked. Vapes, Steezy, edibles, fucking punch edibles, pre-rolls, King Roll, subscription box, Hemper, media, High Times, events, Hall of, like it's like largest Canadian MSO, High Tide. Dude, it's, I was just like, I didn't even know all this. I'm just like creating our deck and I'm just like, it's not bad.
All right. And so, yeah, check out that shit. You'll see all the examples of work we've done on top of all the brands that we've worked with.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's listening to his last question. Last change with the legal cannabis market, D10, HHC, THCO are all on the market. It's like if you try some THCO, it's the most psychedelic-ish cannabinoid. I tried some THCO.
THCO.
I ate it a couple times. There was like these like 25 milligram ones, and I would put down like 50, two or three nights, and I got lit. I got so lit. And I've been putting down about 100 to 150 a night for the past few months, and I got smashed on that shit. But it was a weird high. It was definitely, I don't, if I would have known it was more psychedelic-ish before, maybe I would have been able to pick up on some of that. But I was definitely really lit for like 50 milligrams, and it was like a weird feeling. Like, it's very subtle, like super subtle weird feeling.
Yeah.
Like a little 1 or 2% feeling. It wasn't, I don't know, it was something different. It was kind of like when I ate, also I ate the Delta 8 Smokies, and I got lit when we were at the Russian River.
Yeah, I ate some of those too, but I was a little occupied, so I didn't really feel them.
Yeah. And yeah, so I don't know. THCO was crazy. I only ate it a couple nights, and then I ended up, I think, giving him to fish because I was like, I got all these other edibles that I'm used to, and they do the trick. So THCO is crazy. I don't know. You guys share your experiences with us in the comments, because I don't know. I don't know what to think. Maybe I'll try them again if I get them, if you guys give me some good feedback. And then, yeah, let's fucking gonna round it out for this.
So
what else you got?
We're going to need you to go head on over to Coasters Bar and Grill Yelp. We're running our eternal gym campaign. It just never ends now, so it just goes and goes for our guy. I need you to go leave a review on how gym has impacted your life.
The world.
Impacted our life. Yeah. Basically, just go leave a review saying how dope gym is and send us proof, and we'll send you a hat, a shirt, a notebook, a pen.
Something.
Something.
Something, and we're going to get Jim this goddamn raise. Thomas and the other homie who sent it, Kimmy has your address. She's been in and out for the holidays. You guys are going to get
Yo shit.
I'm going to go hand pull it just to make sure it goes out soon. And for the rest of you guys, make sure to go to Coasters Bar and Grill. Do your damn thing. And thank you to our sponsors, Timber and Pyramids. We wouldn't be here without you guys.
The best in the business.
Holding
this down.
And
a year. Thanks for fucking with us. And stay tuned and see what the fuck we get into next year. We got our reel dropping, end of the year reel. That shit's going to be fire.
Check it out. It's going to be like a 3-song reel we're going to be dropping on IG. And
that'll be one of the next
YouTube
uploads.
Yeah.
Next couple days, probably.
So make sure to check that out, guys. We appreciate you guys fucking with us, following us along on this crazy adventure, and we're excited to share 2022 with you guys. So thank you guys so much, like straight up. And we gonna close this out, probably get back to work at 9:30 at night on a Monday.
Back so at it, baby.
We gonna be keep pushing and keep rising. We out.
Dang.